Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, Dan Christensen, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. If you follow my programming at all, you know that there is a common theme. We continue to illustrate the attacks on animal ownership, whether that animal be a cow, a chicken, a pig, or a dog. And there is probably nobody that I personally know that has felt up close and personal more than those attacks than Dan Christensen from Hurley, South Dakota. How are you today, Dan?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, I'm better than you, actually, because I didn't spend last night in the emergency room. What were you thinking?
Oh, one of those things. I tried to rush out and a little bit slippery, and down I went, and I'm really stiff and sore, but I think I'll make it.
So as long as nobody's there needling you in the ribs, say this, say that, you should be okay?
I think so.
Who's Dan Christensen, Hurley, South Dakota? Tell us about your family history.
I live on a century farm. I'm 61. I've moved 1 mile in 61 years. I grew the first 20 years with my parents, of course, and I went to college and moved here where I've been for 43 years. And I got three kids, two girls and a boy, and four grandchildren. And I farmed all my life since I started. And I've raised cattle, hogs, sheep, chickens, and dogs. And so that's pretty much in a nutshell. Haven't moved very far.
Mm-hmm. When did you start raising dogs?
We started probably 30 years ago. We dabbled, the kids, and we've got good pheasant hunting here, and we've always had German short hairs, and the kids, wanted to start. We started out with a couple, and then as it went on and the pheasant hunting got to be kind of a big deal in South Dakota, we got in a little bit more, and we decided to we thought we could make a go of it by expanding, and there was a demand for hunting dogs, and we have a lot of tourism and hunters come to South Dakota. And so I would say 15 years ago we started taking it seriously and not doing it, and with a lot of interest, and things went good.
As a complete side note, unrelated to the topic, I see reports in both North and South Dakota. I've not seen anything from Minnesota that the pheasant population is extremely good this year. Are you seeing that in Southeast South Dakota?
Yeah, we the most pheasants I think we've had since the 50s and 60s. And just yesterday in our Sioux Falls Argus Leader, the survey says they're up 42%, and I'd say we're all of that. Unbelievable the turnaround in the population.
You are not currently raising dogs because of something that happened, what, 6 years ago?
September 2nd of 2009.
That is just exactly 6 years ago. What happened that day?
Yep, over Labor Day, 3 days before Labor Day.
What happened?
I live in Turner County in South Dakota, and I just got done my normal routine. I went to my boy bought my father's acreage, and I had some dogs down there and some here, and I got up same time usual. I went down at the same time and did the dog chores down there, and I drove 1 mile back home, and I came in the house to get some paperwork, and deputy sheriff knocked on my door. He had a search and seizure warrant to seize all of our animals. Dumbfounded. I had no idea what this was involved or anything. I'm standing there thinking, I had no idea what was going to happen. And he told me that I couldn't go anywhere, that I was to remain here. I called a friend of mine and told him, asked him if he could come over. I was totally shocked. Mm-hmm. And he came in and we talked a little bit, and he said, "What are all those vehicles and horse trailers and pickups doing down to your boy's place?" He had driven by there to come here. And I said, "Get in." We took off with the pickup, and we got down there, and the deputy sheriff met us at the end of my son's driveway and said that I couldn't go in. It was quite a long driveway. He told me I couldn't go in, that I would be arrested, that they had a search and seizure warrant to remove all animals. I drove past him, and I flew up in the building site, and there was vehicles everywhere, and horse trailers, cars from, I don't know how many states, several states, people all over, carrying dogs, carrying puppies, yelling, screaming. I drove up, they had a table set up, and the local lady from the shelter that had caught trespassing on my place before was there. Deputy came up and said, she told him, she goes, "Get him out of here. He has no business being here. He cannot be here. He has no rights." Which really took me.
And that was the head of the county shelter? Who was that lady again, for sure?
Lady was from, she was a Turner County dog catcher is what she was.
Okay.
She had a so-called shelter at the north part of the county, and she had contracts with the county to take stray dogs, catch stray dogs, and that's where she was from. Mm-hmm.
And she has the ability to exercise authority and tell the sheriff what to do?
Well, apparently, she said she had a contract with the county, and that she'd had complaints, and she'd been down previously. She had been down like 4 or 5 nights before this that I was unaware of with the same deputy sheriff. I had caught her at least 5 times trespassing on my land and asked her what she was doing, and said she was concerned and she was just here to check out what was going on. I kicked her out, told her she had no business being here, and that's, I asked the deputy sheriff that too. I said, "Who's in charge here?" And she said, "She is."
The deputy sheriff said that the dog catcher was?
The dog catcher was in charge, that she was here with an animal rights group.
Mm-hmm. Did you at that time know who that group was?
HSUS, Humane Society of the United States.
And what led her to snooping around to begin with? What you said, there were some complaints. Who complained?
There was a lady that had bought a pup several months before that from Denver, Colorado. They had driven up here. I don't let puppies go until they're 8 weeks old, and they wanted one at 5 weeks. And I told them no several times, and I got a call that they had somebody coming here to get one. They were that far away, and I said they hadn't had their complete rounds of shots. And when they got here, I gave them the puppy. They drove all the way back to Denver with it, and they had it about a week and said that they weren't satisfied with it, that the puppy was full of feces when they picked it up. And they had called the county or this Rosie Quinn and then somebody had stumbled on our website. We had a very huge website. This is why we did sell a lot of puppies. My daughter built websites, and she had found this, her and the state's attorney, and they could see the facilities that we had, high test quality hunting dogs. We had 5 breed hunting dogs, and this just got her. She apparently had it in her head that she wanted these dogs.
Yeah, I think she was a plant. She set you up, but we will continue that discussion. Dan Christensen, Hurley, South Dakota. Turner County, South Dakota, by the way, folks, if you're thinking this is like Sioux Falls, it's not that far, but the population is 8,361. We're not talking about a metropolitan area. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Rural Route. Dan Christensen out there.
The time is now, my friends, to say thank you to those individuals, the troops, that continue to risk their lives to protect our freedom. There's a group of cattlemen from the Great Plains of America that found a way to say thank you. 250,000 individuals in the past 7 years have been given a handshake and supplied with a full meal deal, including a one-pound ribeye. The All-American Beef Battalion on the best crusade of our life. Make your contribution and help us, please, at stakesfortroops.com.
Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce alongside Dan Christensen. I told you at the beginning of the program that there is a blatant attack against animal ownership. I also said I don't know of a better poster child, and I don't like saying that Dan Christensen is the absolute epitome of the attacks that can and are being leveled against animal owners every single day. You don't seem to think... Dan, the lady from Denver was an intentional plant to get you to sell her something that you didn't want to sell just so that they had an open avenue?
Well, I think that that they found our website and the puppies are cute and they got the puppy back, and like happens often that, okay, we get this little puppy and it goes on the carpet. Whose job is it to clean it up? The kid don't want to, and you know, it isn't working out, and they think of an excuse, and we had warranties, you know, if it didn't work out, if there was something, and they just, you know, yeah, it was something that they weren't aware. We had the hunting dogs, and you know, it was an excuse. I mean, it was nothing that would have kicked this off or anything. The dog catcher just needed an excuse, any kind of excuse.
So the local dog catcher just had an angst against people breeding dogs. Is that the bottom line?
Well, later I had heard that morning right away, I called my veterinarian, which lives close, and she came up and she asked me if I cared if she called some other local breeders to come, that they belong to groups to protect themselves against something like this. And there was, I think, three couples that came that raised dogs, and it ended up this local dog catcher had tried to take one of their friends' dogs and equipment 2 or 3 months previous to this. She didn't get the job done. The facilities were locked, and it was a botched rescue, so to speak. So she was on the prowls, and once they found these hunting dogs right before pheasant season, I was a target.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's probably plenty of people shouting at the radio, including me. One person complains that bought a 5-week-old puppy, and that's enough of an avenue for this local dog catcher to get a warrant and come in and take all of your dogs away?
She was that gung-ho. We've got it on video, and HSUS videoed it. They interviewed her, and she was crying, and they said, "Rosie, why are you crying? Are you that sad to see these puppies like this?" She said, "No, I'm crying because this is the happiest day of my life. Mm-hmm. I've dreamed about doing this my whole life."
What were the conditions the dogs were in? Describe your facilities.
We had facilities. We had outdoor runs. We had a 10-by-10 chain-link fence on cement. We had 5-by-5 pens inside. We had runs in all the buildings. Like I say, we had five breeds, so of course they were all separated. We had a cow gutter at the end where we washed off and ran into a holding tank. I've got a new 160 by 50 foot Morton building. We were in the process of redoing it to a state of the art dog kennel. I had contractors here. They had the materials ordered. The cement was going to be done in September. And she knew this. The one time I had caught her here, I told her we were in the process of moving, and I think she thought we better do her before. But otherwise, as far as facilities, we had heat, we had fans. The day they were here, one of their complaints was the dogs didn't have heat that day, and it was 92 degrees out. So it was there was nothing wrong with the facilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, I felt I needed to ask you that, but at the bottom line, it really doesn't matter. If your facilities are not up to speed, your dogs are not going to thrive, you're going to be put out of business. It should not be some local dog catcher's business about how you take care of your dogs.
Well, she has no experience in raising dogs, and plus the fact that AKC checks your facilities once a year. They had been here a year ago, August. They had just been here 6 weeks prior to this. No problem. Now, if AKC registry gives you the okay, you're all right, and here's a dog catcher that brings in stray dogs from all over and puts them in one facility, I don't know how she has any credibility.
Yeah, how many dogs did they seize, and what did they do with them?
They took 173 adults and females. They took them from here to the Turner County Fairgrounds, and they put them in the hog barn where they showed hogs at the Turner County Fair, which was just held 2 or 3 weeks prior to moving my dogs in there. I wasn't allowed to go in, but we had somebody volunteered to go in. Half of the building is on dirt. The other half was on concrete. They put our dogs in pens, hog panel pens, more than enough to jump over the top. They put puppies. Lord knows how they even kept them separate. The puppies could get out from underneath. They could get out through there. This is the kind of facilities they put them in after they took them.
Mm-hmm. They took them out of a 4-star hotel and put them in the ghetto. That's what you just described. I mean, hog barns are fine for hog barns, but there's a plan.
Right, exactly.
I'm talking about the county fairgrounds.
We tried to get answers out of the county. Was the building sterilized? Was it disinfected? No answers. I mean, Turner County Fair, how many pairs of shoes go through a hog building at a fair?
Mm-hmm.
And to have it in facilities where there was dogs. That's the baffling question.
So they take the dogs, 173 of them?
Yep.
Have you been arrested?
By then I was. I had to stand here and watch them. When they got down at my son's house, came back up here, I was so-called arrested then. I called my attorney, and he showed up, and it was turmoil then. I mean, it was, they were running around yelling. They had people going in my buildings and coming back out, and then they would have cameramen interviewing these people, and then they'd go, cut, take two. They had cue cards up, what to say, and they're filming. They went in to get, and my dogs were hunting dogs. I mean, we never, hardly ever had it. Only when we went out, we had them on a leash. They would put a leash on them, and they'd come out, and these dogs would trot behind them just like they were in a show. if and people out there that do know dogs, if you go into a strange facility or someone else's dog, put a leash on it,
some drag.
Chances are the dog's just going to lay there.
Yeah, there's going to be some dragging involved. That's what I was going to say.
I mean, ours were socialized. I mean, we had people here all the time. We did bird hunts. Mm-hmm. And this, it wasn't pretty that day.
Dan, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Dan Christensen, our guest, Hurley, South Dakota. The good and bad news is that it's been 6 years, folks, so I think it's a little easier for Dan to walk back through this, but it never, ever gets easy. We'll be back with more Rural Route after this.
Now let's take a break and talk about marketing cattle the Superior way. Superior Livestock Auction, no video sale this week, but here's what's happening on the country page. Cattle posted just about every single day. Well, multiple cattle every single day. Here's what's posted yesterday alone. A lot of Montana cattle. Terry, Montana, split load of 40 steers and 85 heifers, delivery in October. Forsyth, Montana, these are Montana Angus certified natural cattle. Delivery last half of October, 100 heifer calves weighing 490 pounds. Bryan, Texas, 94 weaned steer calves. They were posted yesterday. These posted yesterday as well. Two, three loads, four loads, five loads, six loads, seven loads, eight, nine loads of cattle posted from Bryan, Texas, all about 100 head of steers and heifers, all delivery now through mid-October. Details about those cattle, plus the Buffalo, South Dakota cattle. Ooh, the bid on those is not good. Dade City, but that's why you can say no. Dade City, Florida, posted on Friday. Jordan, Montana, Circle, Montana. That's just a glimpse of what's happening on the country page. Details can be found at www.superiorlivestock.com.
Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce. Dan Christensen, my guest from Turner County, South Dakota, Hurley, South Dakota. This might be the time, Dan, that I let people know that at some point in time this winter, I checked yesterday, we believe first of the year, January 1, the Wrong Side of Right Hollywood picture is coming out, and while it may not be exact story of what Dan Christensen lived through, it was certainly based upon it, and Dan and I were together at the Hollywood premiere back in July. I'm ready for that movie to get out so Dan people can see the outright injustice that you experienced, and I should say all animal owners around this country are subject to. It's happening every day, Dan. It's not just there's one.
Yeah, it just snowballs. I mean, they keep getting away with it. And all it is money.
I want to make sure that people understood what you just said before we went to the break. As they are seizing your dogs, as they have this huge problem of a guy who's abusing animals, I say that was what they're trying to convince the public of, not what was happening. They're filming this like a Hollywood production for one purpose, to be a fundraiser. This was all about a fundraiser at the Christensen family's expense. That's what it was.
Exactly. And, I mean, we deposed these people. Professional videographers, professional cameramen. They had professional actors. They had a van set up here. They got done here at 4 o'clock. And my daughter received a text message at 10 after 4 from a friend of hers that was serving in Afghanistan. And she had seen this on YouTube or whatever in minutes after this was done. So all I was an advertisement for their telemarketers.
Yeah. And I told you, when we were in Hollywood, and I'll tell you again, I apologize because I didn't know that it was happening when it happened. I knew that it happened a week later, and it took me way too long to reach out. But quite honestly, I just made the assumption so many people were reaching out, you didn't know how to sort through it all. But back to the dogs. There's 173 of your dogs at the Turner County Fairgrounds in the hog barn. You've been arrested. Well, what are they supposedly going to do with these dogs that are not in adequate facilities for what period of time? What's their plan?
Well, this was our concern. I couldn't get in. We tried everything we could, and this is a Wednesday before the Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day was my busiest time of year to ship pups. Obviously, we had hunting dogs. Pheasant season opens in October. I had 34 or 5 pups ready to ship within the next 10 days. They took all them. All of our dogs were microchipped. They all had names. They were all registered. Once they took them and mixed them up, even if I would have got them back, we don't know what we could have done. We had stories that as early as that night, they were adopting our animals out to people. A lady called me that night, not 5 hours after they were there. She adopted one of our pregnant short hairs and just wanted to know that what she was doing. There was a thing in Sioux Falls Saturday. They had something downtown, some arts and crafts. My attorney's secretary ran into a woman carrying a baby pup. Mm-hmm. Where did you get that pup? Oh, Second Chance Rescue is adopting them out as fast as they can. They were my property under the sheriff's care. They were evidence in a criminal case. And she was adopting them out to anybody that would come and pick one up.
This is a major problem. My home state, your neighbor to the south, Nebraska, just passed a law in this past legislative session that says that the county sheriff has the right to sell these animals before there's a conviction of wrongdoing. You never were convicted of wrongdoing, and yet your dogs are gone. This is
exactly
a huge,
and they
huge
have
issue.
They have no idea where they are at. We had, at the time, 37 pregnant females. Mm-hmm. I had just, in the previous couple months, bought out 3 kennels, and I had several females that were bred coming in over the next 30 to 60 days, and these pups were born in their care. And the last, even close to what they were missing, 320 dogs.
What happens next?
Well, we went through litigation for 5.5 years, and we never did have a trial.
Where are the dogs?
No one knows. We have no idea. I got 4 back. Same thing as the movie. Mm-hmm. And 2 of them weren't even mine. They were black. 2 of them were black labs. I never raised black labs.
So, I mean, they're just gone to people?
Yeah, nobody's accountable.
How many died?
Well, several. She did testify at one time, which she testified several, but when they took all of ours, there were 3 veterinarians here. 3 days after they took them, the veterinarians inspected them. Nothing wrong with any of them. 3 weeks later, they inspected them. Nothing wrong with any of them. We got clean bill of health on every single one. 6 weeks later, they had to move out of the Turner County Fair to the Swimpire Fairgrounds in Sioux Falls. And people were going up there to adopt. Lady went up there and picked up some Vizsla puppies. They were sick. They were parvo. They took them to the local television place in downtown Sioux Falls. They had it on TV that these puppies came from this facility. They had parvo. Went to the local Humane Society. They broke with 5 different diseases in the care of this rescue.
Through that, you knowing that's all taking place, how and besides, you with pending criminal charges, how do you mentally, not just you, your entire family, how do you hold up?
Well, 6 years a blur. My daughter was involved. My daughter-in-law was involved. I guess I got four grandkids that were... The one grandkid that helped the most came here after school that day. And that was tough. I don't know what... And, I mean, I hear horror stories. People from all over have called. It's tough. I don't know how I got through it. And it's not a heck of a lot easier yet.
Mm-hmm. Financially, I don't want to know anything the public shouldn't know, but it had to be a complete wreck.
Well, I mean, we were making a living. I mean, we loved raising dogs and hunting. I've hunted all my life. I love hunting and to meet people. And we were doing bird hunts. I mean, they came and that was the best advertisement we could have ever got, is selling hunting dogs to hunters. And within 3 weeks, I had to let one pickup go back. I mean, I had two new pickups, one to, you know, we ship most of our puppies out on the airplane. And this happened in September. In December, I had to sell 340 acres of land to make land payment and get something to live on. I mean, this was my life. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a huge impact.
Through that, you indicated that people called, but you have surely met an entire community of people that have had the same injustice brought upon them from all around the country?
Yes, everywhere.
What have you gained from their stories?
You're so helpless. I mean, when we took depositions, we questioned. I mean, I've been a taxpayer here all my life. My dad was, my grandfather was. And asked the sheriff, now, what is your job as the sheriff of Turner County? And his job was to protect and serve the taxpayers and the citizens of Turner County. That day when they took Dan's dogs, who were you there protecting? And he answered, I was there protecting HSUS against Dan Christensen. Under the sheriff's guidance and
he sees
take
his
all of
now?
My property.
He knows that he screwed up now? He dropped the ball?
Well, he has not admitted it to anyone that I know, but...
Well, that is the case. I mean,
county
sheriff dropped the ball.
Right, exactly.
Rural Route, Dan Christensen, my guest. We have made it through three segments. We've got one more. We'll talk about what we learn at Dan Christensen's family's expense and how we all benefit from it after this.
Well, folks, let me take a moment and tell you about ShowRite Feeds, now part of the Alltech family. You know that I started using ShowRite in my own family long before I knew there was going to be an Alltech acquiring taking place. I started using it because the more people I talk to, the more I recognize that these show feeds have everything in it you need. You don't need to be a chemist to feed show stock. I've already told you since the county fair that we had first, second, and third place on rate of gain. Now I've got more news. After the state fair, we had second and third rate of gain at the Nebraska State Fair. Reserve champion, Lindsay Luce. Third place, Lindsay Luce. ShowRite Feeds will work for you like they do for us. Okay, that's all old news. You've heard that before. Here's the new part. News, new. But that's my news ticker tape. This week from Exarban, Lindsay Luce, third time reserve champion, rate of gain, missed it by 0.3 of a pound this week. You got to be kidding me. that it was all different critters. That's the effectiveness of ShowRite, naturally now, by Alltech. Alltech.com.
Welcome back to Rural Route. I'm Trent Luce. Dan Christensen, my guest today from Hurley, South Dakota. We're talking about what has happened to his family in the past 6 years. And, Dan, there's a couple of things I want to accomplish in the last segment, but mostly I think those of us that own animals, and it doesn't matter, again, whether it's a dog, a chicken, a cow, a pig, or a goose, or a tiger, we think that this only happens to people in faraway lands. Dan Christensen is a farmer, third, fourth generation from Turner County, rural South Dakota. If it happens to you, it can happen to any of us. All it took in your case was one activist who happened to wiggle herself into a position of authority in the county, and she destroyed a business that you had built. Isn't that the story that everybody needs to take home from here, is that everybody is a target?
I don't think anybody is safe as far out as these people have gone, as far as animal activists. They're too far out there, and it only takes just a minute complaint to get these people activated, and the worst of it is that they're protected under the law.
Mm-hmm. Right now, even the best understanding livestock producer hears somebody talking about a puppy mill, hears somebody talking about a dog breeder. And I think too many times we assume the worst instead of recognizing that it is absolutely no different than calving a bunch of cows. They're animals that we own.
Exactly. And why wouldn't we take the best care of the animals we own? It's like I say, we had a huge website. They're registered. They're microchipped. I mean, we practically lived with them. How could you even think about not doing the very best, or what is there to even try and get away with that you wouldn't do your very best? I mean, they're trying, and who are these people to tell you your business?
That's just where we've moved. We've moved into an era where dogs and horses have more sentiment than humans.
Exactly.
So,
and they don't care who they hurt to do it.
No, they don't. I happen to be sitting directly behind you at the premiere of the Wrong Side of Right in Hollywood. And, Dan, I don't know if you know this or not, but your body language went on the big screen, the movie. They were seizing the dogs. Your body language, it was like it took you back to that moment. Is there anything that you've experienced in your life that has been more drastic than that moment?
No, that topped it. That was tough. And the likeness in the movie, yeah, like, you know, it wasn't not exactly, but this guy has a problem and passes out. The next morning, I walked out to the end of my driveway to pick up my morning newspaper, and they found me. Half hour later, I'd passed out, and it was rain and sprinkling, and I ended up in the heart hospital for 3 days. I mean, it was just, nothing was real. It was just, and you just don't get over this overnight. I don't know if you ever get over it.
Whether it's healthy and whether you should have or not, I'm sure that you've sat there a million times, thought back and thought, I should have done this.
Probably 2 million times.
Anything?
I don't know what we could have been. My concern is with, number one, it's terrible what's going on. And when is it going to stop? When somebody gets killed protecting their own stuff, or somebody gets killed stealing it, because there's somebody out there that it just it pushes you to the very farthest limit. Mm-hmm.
What are the other solutions? I mean, once the movie's out, Dan, I plan to make sure that I can get as many people there as I possibly can. And I also think, and this was my sentiment at the end of the movie, was that people going to the movie need to recognize that these are real live events. This is happening. This happened to Dan Christensen. It happened to Denise Malott in Arkansas with horses. It happens every single day. I want to make sure that we find a way to express to people that go see the movie that this wasn't just a made-for-TV movie, a Hollywood. It's based on actual events. Do you have a way of, in your mind, that we can express to people that this is what HSUS is really doing? They're using hardworking families to become wealthy. How do we get
all
that?
All they are is a telemarketer. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what anything with livestock, pets, breeding dogs is all about. It's about how much money. And the movie says it. I couldn't have wrote that part any better, that they could care less. Like you say, they use people. They use people for their money. They use people like us to go out and virtually they've got a license to steal. And they people that work there, they don't have a shelter. They don't provide nothing. They were here 5 days in South Dakota or less, took everything we had, put them in this local shelter. They leave. They get all the benefits from the advertisement and the money rolling in every month left this place high and dry, wiped me out of 30 years, and they get by with it. And they think no second thought.
I want to ask this as a question, Dan, and not be leading because I have a very stern thought. But this week it came out of Purdue University that they have developed the first ever dog handling care standards. There are some that believe if we just have a set of standards that dog breeders need to follow, that will be the compromise. Everybody will see that the Dan Christensens of the world care about their dogs. Will a university-designed dog care standard help the average dog breeder, the average dog owner in this country?
Well, where would they get their information, and who are they? Who are they to tell people how to do it? To me, the experience from doing it yourself. I mean, you can write any book you want. In my thinking, I mean, every situation's different. Hunting dogs are raised different than your little lap dogs. So everybody's got the same standard on, and who's going to enforce this, or who's it going to help, or who's it going to accept it? I don't understand that. I mean, it sounds good.
Mm. I don't think it sounds good. I think it's a nail in the coffin. I think that no matter what standard Dan Christensen followed, he had too many dogs in his care to suit the one person in the county that made a difference. You can have five dogs, or you can have 500 dogs. You can take
right.
care of them properly, or you don't. You cannot have, if you have 500 dogs, there are going to be people like Rosie Quinn who believe that there's no way, shape, or form you can care for 500 dogs properly. And that is wrong. The individual management is what matters. In fact, Proposition B in Missouri basically said you cannot provide adequate care for six dogs. That's the loophole that they're trying to take us down. And if we, folks, I'm not talking only about dogs here. I'm talking about the same thing that's being set up by McDonald's, by Walmart, and everybody else. If we, the animal owners, don't stand up and say we are the best care providers, we're going to all find ourselves in the position Dan Christensen is in.
Well, exactly. They're going to continue until somebody gets some. I mean, we just can't keep on like this, and they're never ending. It's just money, money, money. They can do anything they want to.
Yeah, because it's not better care that they want. It's making money and the extinction of the species. In fact, I've got a friend in New York City who actually got one of these animal rights activists to say, until the animals are extinct, I'm not happy. That's the bottom line. Dan, we're in the final 2 minutes.
All right.
The things that you want us to take away from this are?
Well, the name of this movie, they couldn't have named it any better. The Wrong Side of Right. These people are doing the wrong. It's wrong what they're doing. And they think they're doing things good. You see this advertisement on TV with this poor animal. I mean, it's so misleading. It's lies. It's money. It's corrupt. They're terrible people.
Once again, folks, the movie is called The Wrong Side of Right. I was very fortunate, along with Dan Christensen, to be invited to the premiere. Once it is out in theaters, it will expose these individuals that absolutely, as Dan Christensen said, have a license to steal. And they're not stealing money. They're stealing livelihoods and the ability for us to implement the basic foundational principles of this country, the right to personal property. ProtectTheHarvest.com. Protect the Harvest and Lucas Oil made this movie possible. There's a trailer on their website. I propose today that you go watch that trailer, ProtectTheHarvest.com. Watch the trailer for The Wrong Side of Right. Dan Christensen, I told you that I was going to stop by and see you in Hurley. I will get that done, and thanks for taking the time to share with us your horrible story, and best of luck to you in the future, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
We've successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. Both Dan Christensen and myself remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route.
Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Lewis. I want to tell you about Neo 40. Did you know that the dietary nitrate supplement that we're talking about here that leads to nitric oxide production is a molecule, and it was recognized in 1992, nitric oxide, as the molecule of the year by the American scientific community. And then in 1998, the discovery of nitric oxide as a critical signaling molecule that garnered a Nobel Peace Prize in physiology and medicine. Folks, it's about improving your overall health and living. We lead a more sedentary lifestyle today, which means we don't sweat as much. We don't generate as much of our own nitric oxide. We don't eat as many leafy greens as we should. That means that you need to take nitric oxide enhancing molecules. It's called Neo 40. Dr. Nathan Bryan has told you all about it. Now log on to the website, www.neo40.com. Place your order, then put Trent as a coupon code, and we both win. You pay no shipping. You improve your overall health. Neo40.com. Trent, coupon code.